This is Mark Langdon's Bets Club.
Hello and a warm welcome to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, brought to you by CopyBet. This is your one-stop shop for football betting insight. It's Jack Reeve and Mark Langdon to guide you through proceedings. Mark, it's a rare occasion, but we're in person doing it. It's weird seeing you as a human.
It is, and it's also weird not having sort of cans on the ears. I feel very naked. Thankfully, not naked, but I do feel I'm a bit
that
bare.
That would be
with
a different show.
It would, it would be the opposite of naked attraction, wouldn't it? I suppose, but it's a really exciting part of the football season. You can smell the EFL playoffs, which is always one of my very favourite parts of the whole sort of campaign. And looking forward to it. We are doing it on a Wednesday, aren't we?
We're a day early,
so we can't review the draw between Milan and Inter that's about to take place on Wednesday.
We can review a draw, though, in European football, if you'd like. And that was between Real Madrid and Manchester City. City going to the Bernabeu and picking up a valuable draw, you could say. It was a game that we probably expected to see with two quality goals. Enjoyable.
Yeah, it was enjoyable. I felt the two goals were absolutely sensational in their own ways. The De Bruyne one, just so pleasing on the eye, the way that it just stayed so sort of straight.
Didn't piercing,
it was absolutely pure, the way he struck it. Vinicius' goal, sort of spectacular in a different kind of way, because it just came out of nothing.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was sort of almost thinking that Real Madrid might need their own ball chucked onto the pitch, because Manchester City were dominating possession. First 15 minutes, had three or four shots on target. Rudiger said after the game that was part of the Real Madrid plan, and that they weren't panicked and they knew that City would have a lot of the ball. I don't think it would have been to that extent that they would have wanted City to have dominated. Actually, then after Vinicius scored, I did wonder whether Real Madrid were about to get the second goal, because they were on top at the point when Manchester City equalised. So I think when you throw all of that in, a draw, feels like a fair enough result. I think it's a big one for Manchester City, because we've seen that Real Madrid, when they've done their spectacular comebacks last season, it was at home where they really got the crowd on the side. And actually, had City maybe won by one goal at the Etihad, it might have been a very different environment for them going to the Bernabeu in that second leg. So they'll be absolutely delighted to be in front of their supporters. I expect them to go through. I think over 120 minutes potentially, they should have enough possession, enough quality to get the job done. But Real Madrid are a team that break most of the rules. They don't play in this collective manner. There doesn't appear to be much of a process to what they do. They've just got outstanding individuals, and any one of them can pop up and do something, as Vinicius did.
You could tell that there was a relief about the Manchester City camp. You saw Kyle Walker afterwards really happy with things. Jack Grealish was saying how much he enjoyed the game. If they'd have lost that game, they wouldn't have been saying they'd enjoyed it. I think they knew that they'd gone there and got a job done.
And once they went to 1-1, it wasn't very ambitious. By Manchester City standards, there was like one counter-attack where only De Bruyne and Haaland went forward, and they had everybody else behind the ball. There was a lovely moment actually in that interview. Two lovely moments in the Grealish interview. One, when he sees mum text him before the game and saying, this is what you've dreamt of. And that felt like quite real, really. You could sort of imagine him sort of saying that to
his
mum.
He's very likeable, isn't he?
He is hugely likeable. And then he also mentioned the cramping that he got in his calves, and then the camera then sort of panned round to bulging calf muscles that he's got. He had to do a very disciplined job, and I think that's what it was for Manchester City. It was almost like, we've messed up some of these Champions League moments before, let's not do it again. And the potential was there once they went 1-0 down against a run of play, but they hung in there. And they're in a good position now to go and win the tie. And then, this is a harder game than what they're going to get in the final. It doesn't mean they'll win the final, but it's definitely a harder game.
If Manchester City Real Madrid was methodical, then what we saw in the Premier League on Monday was far from it. We saw a 5-3, a 5-1, and a 4-3. It's thrown the relegation picture up in the air. The relegation prices at time of recording, Southampton basically down 1 to 100, 2 to 5 Leeds, 4 to 9 Leicester, 7 to 5 Forest, 3 to 1 Everton. I think we should start with Leicester, Mark, beaten well by Fulham. And I don't think, when we were recording this last week, we were going through the fixtures, weren't we? And we were saying, for Leicester, that feels like a game that they'd quite like. Fulham, not loads to play for. They're without their star striker and still conceded 5. Dean Smith now with real problems.
Maybe it's taken 35 games. I no longer think that Leicester are too good to go down. Expected goals wise, like, it felt like Fulham, everything they hit went in, and you know, it shouldn't have been anything like 5, but to concede 5 goals,
it feels like that's what happens.
Really bad.
That's what happens to these kind of clubs, and I've seen it as a Norwich fan. When you're at this point of the season, things can capitulate really quickly, and suddenly you've gone, oh, we're in this, we've had a good couple of chances early on, and then suddenly you're out of touch.
And if you compare, say, the performance that Leicester put in to the one that Everton put in, both away from home, one obviously much more difficult on paper than the other, but just the organisation, the battle, the will to win, I suppose the realisation that, that, you know, they really need to do, you know, some hard graft. And yet I still feel with Leicester that maybe some of their players will think, oh, well, we'll win this game, you know, we'll win the next one. And you know, they've got some, you know, going forward, you know, some obvious talents, Vardy, Barnes and Maddison being just three, but, you know, you just can't keep defending the way that they are. Now they're odds on to be relegated. Got a horrible game against a Liverpool team that's sniffing top four. Then maybe, you know, there's some light at the end of the tunnel after that. And then you're looking at like the West Ham game and thinking, well, if they're in sort of still in Europa League, then that's a nice one. But I mean, you're not realistically going to put them in for many points from the next two. Liverpool home, Newcastle away. So, I mean, it could come down to the fact that, yeah, okay, let's give them the 3 points that they beat West Ham. And that might, I don't think 33 will be enough. I think you might need 34, 35. So they're going to need to get something, I think, out of, as well as beating West Ham, which isn't a gimme, they're going to need to get something probably out of one of those two matches. Their goal difference, minus 15, is an advantage over somebody like Leeds and Nottingham Forest and also Everton. But I'm not sure 33 will be enough. Might need one more point somewhere.
We'll get on to Everton shortly in our match of the day. It was a remarkable victory for them on Monday. The other big result was for Nottingham Forest beating Southampton 4-3. It was far nervier than it should have been with the late James Ward-Prowse penalty. My moment of that match, Mark, was that stupendous touch from Gibbs White to set up the it was the Danilo goal, wasn't it?
It was
the little kind of flick, and then it flicked off his other foot. It was lovely. The joy of Forest you felt this season, even if it's more of an emotional than a factual feeling, but you always back them to get something at home, and they've built that. And you know, you've seen teams over the years, if you've got a good home record, often you'll be okay, and you always feel like Forest are never out of it at home.
No, they are very competitive at home. They've taken points off of, you know, big teams, the biggest, Manchester City. You know, Brennan Johnson obviously down one side, Morgan Gibbs-White, player I absolutely love, down the other, gives you chances. I actually felt that Southampton were unlucky. You can't defend as badly as they did and then say you're unlucky, I suppose. But
harsh penalty.
Yeah.
What it's given, but
A couple of weeks ago when Southampton got a one even softer than that against Tottenham, you remember when Maitland-Niles got in the way, allegedly, of a Pape Sarr clearance. So that made me chuckle when Southampton were saying that wasn't a penalty. No bad
short
feelings
memories
there. I felt that they played, that they were the better team and then found themselves 2-0 down. But that can that's another thing that down at the bottom seems to happen. For Southampton. So I think that they're relegated, now going to be almost impossible for them. And we were saying, well, where do, if Leicester need to get 4 points to, say, get to 34, we're thinking that Forest need one more point somewhere, maybe two at a push. Chelsea away, I mean, there's an opportunity there, but you would still, I mean, their away form has been horrid for Nottingham Forest. Owned to Arsenal, I know what you're saying about the fact that they're always in it at the City Ground, but I mean, the way Arsenal dealt with that Newcastle game was mightily impressive. And then Crystal Palace away in Roy Hodgson's last game, again, presumably his last game. I mean, I don't know, he might hang around for longer. There's potential there, but I don't know. I feel like for Nottingham Forest, they maybe are... They are hoping that nobody gets the points that they need.
Let's pick the three then. So we're assuming Southampton are down. So Leeds 2-5, Leicester 4-9, 7-5 Forest, 3-1 Everton. Pick your two out of them.
Oh, you know, I think from a non-betting point of view, I would say Leicester and Leeds.
Yeah.
If we're talking about purely from a betting value proposition. I've been really negative on Leeds in recent weeks. I think Sam Allardyce's appointment's a good one. I like their remaining fixtures. I don't think are that bad. They've got like West Ham in the middle of a European semi-final, for instance. So I do wonder whether Nottingham Forest might still go down because of what they've got left.
Okay.
But if I'm talking purely from what's the most likely thing to happen, I would say Leeds and Leicester.
We'll be touching more on Everton in our match of the day.
Bet £10 and get £40 in free bets with CopyBet, a sports book like no other, where you can copy bets from the top tipsters. Head over to copybet.com/promo/free-bet to claim. New customers only. Free bets are available only to UK residents over 18 years old. Terms apply. Please gamble responsibly. BeGambleAware.org.
Yeah, let's discuss Everton against Manchester City then. This one's Sunday, 2 o'clock. 15-2 Everton, 3-10 City, 21-5 the draw. Let's talk about Everton's win over Brighton then, Mark. It was...
Don't ask me to explain it.
It was remarkable, wasn't it? The first few goals, you were watching, you know, the replays, and you're going, how do Everton score from this position? Because we've become so used to Brighton being so... resolute and tactically really well drilled, and Brighton just fell apart. But for Everton's sake, huge.
It was a real momentum shifter, I think, because yeah, and we've just done it, haven't we? There, we've gone through and go, well, they're not going to get any points there, and they might get one here. You've just got that down for none, one at an absolute push. And the fact that you get three just changes the whole dynamic of that sort of bottom four. Sort of five, you know, relegation, dogfight. Obviously, the early goal is of massive benefit when you're a team that wants to play defensive and on the counter-attack. But
we've seen Everton do that before in recent weeks, haven't we? And not be able to close it out.
So no,
that
no.
Mentally, that must have been a big shift as
well.
You
know what, though? Even at 3-0, I thought if Brighton score early in the second half, I don't think this game's... over, and Pickford made some ridiculously good saves. There was the woodwork being hit, and it was only really when it went to 4-1 that it was like, oh, that fourth goal, right, that's done it, because it kind of repelled the comeback. And then I really enjoyed McNeil's sort of later goal as well, where he was celebrating before it went in. I mean, what did they do? Yerry Mina, I thought, was good at the back. Haven't seen much of him lately. Pickford, already mentioned how well he played. The midfield three were, very strong. Garner's come into the team more recently and impressed me. Decore, obviously, had been suspended. Idrissa Gueye, you always know what you're going to get from him. Iwobi has some nice moments and then can drift in and out of games. Like, does he affect enough matches, enough minutes in a game? But he and McNeil on the wide area supported the fullbacks, but then also offered a threat. And maybe the biggest difference in recent weeks has been having a proper striker and Calvert-Lewin back to something like he's best, because transformative really when they've been having like Damari Gray up front, or I remember when they've tried like using a youngster, wasn't it, that they used against Liverpool that was on loan at Sunderland earlier on in the season. So to have somebody like that that's played for England up front that can just link everything together the way that Dyche likes to play as well was a big one. They got Man City game, which is a free hit for them. I don't expect them to get any. We'll get on to best bets. Don't expect them to get anything there. Wolves away, could see him frustrating Wolves, maybe getting a point. But even if they don't, They've got this Bournemouth at home on the final day. But Bournemouth have had a great season. They look safe. At home to Bournemouth on the last day, that would be probably if you could pick one game, it would probably be Southampton at home. If you couldn't pick Southampton at home, it would be Bournemouth.
How many points are we saying they need? So they're on 32, Leicester below them and Leeds both on 30, and with a worse goal difference than Leicester as well.
I think two might do it. So that could be two draws or the win against Bournemouth. They might need three, but again, they've got that Bournemouth game at home in the back of their minds. You remember they won a similar match last year against Crystal Palace that kept them up. And I think that the win against Brighton is season defining for Everton. And then just in terms of their financial position, the result could just be so important for them, for the next decade. I don't want to overstate these things, but relegation would be terrible news for the Toffees. And I think those three surprising points against Brighton could be the difference between them staying up and going down.
Just on Manchester City, it was a really intriguing performance from them at last time out against Leeds. Gundogan gets, two relatively early goals, almost identical goals. And you expect them to just go on and canter it. And in the end, it was 2-1. I'm not going to use the word complacency. That's probably slightly harsh. But it did just feel at moments in that game that they were probably looking forwards rather than living in the moment somewhat. Do you think that, I guess we shall call it complacency here, will be stomped out? Because Everton, you're travelling to Goodison, on paper, should be a simple win. But after the result against Brighton, you just don't know.
No, it'd be a hostile environment, no doubt about that, for Manchester City. I still think they'll win the game, but they are going to be looking ahead to the Champions League. I think they were looking ahead to that game in Madrid, and they will be looking ahead to what they've got to come on Wednesday. The fact it's the fact that Guardiola kept the same players out on the pitch for the full 90 suggests to me that he will make a decent chunk of changes. Now, when you're bringing on Foden, Mahrez, and maybe Julian Alvarez, and maybe Nathan Ake's in at the back, it's not Laporte could come in. It's not like you're putting out the absolute stiffs. But I just think from a rhythm point of view, that's not the first team, and sometimes you do get that it's not about the quality of player, it's just about the movements that they make and those intricate passes. And he's got a decision to make on Haaland, for instance. Like, is this a game where you can afford to rest him? I don't think it is. I think you do have to play Haaland. Look, they've got the potential to drop points somewhere, and it's still in their hands, but you don't want to give any encouragement to Arsenal.
Does it give Arsenal a sniff if City were to drop points?
Yeah, absolutely. It really does. I think what Arsenal will be looking for is that Brighton game that Man City have got, that's one where they could drop points. I know they've just lost 5-1, but Brighton are a good side. So, if City can go to Brighton and lose and it not matter, then that's a completely different feeling on that game and sort of the nerves. I think Arsenal need City to get to a point where they've got to win, and then you might start to the nerves might kick in for them. At the moment, they have got it in their head that they can drop points somewhere. I mean, this is not an absolute penalty kick. I don't think you want to be back in Man City at like 3-0 or whatever to win this game. It just doesn't feel like an absolute walkover, does it? I do think they'll win, though. So I'm going to go for Manchester City in under 3.5 goals. If you look at City's away performances from Fulham downwards in terms of league placings in the Premier League, only drop points in a 1-1 at Forest. That was a ridiculous result because it should have been more comfortable. 7 of the 10 wins have been with under 3.5. So I just see them grinding it out.
Okay, good stuff. Plenty more Premier League action to get through. We'll get onto that now. The early kickoff Saturday, Leeds against Newcastle. We've already touched upon Leeds, Mark. Newcastle haven't kept a clean sheet in some time. We were kind of, that was what they were building their success on, wasn't it? So they haven't got that. Will Leeds be looking at this and going, a possibility of something here?
Yeah, they will, because if we're talking about Leeds maybe needing 4 points, even if they were to beat West Ham or Tottenham, they're still going to need something somewhere else. And I'm going to go for a draw in this game. I just thought that Newcastle were, you know, short enough to win the game. I don't think they played terribly against Arsenal at all. I mean, and you have to get the penalty, which it wasn't a penalty, but it was initially given, and sometimes they're not overturned, and they hit the post, didn't they? And Ramsdale made some saves, so it's not an anti-Newcastle sort of point here. But I just think, from Leeds' point of view, hard to judge them on the Man City game. 2-1, they'll probably be happy to get out of that, feeling that they've done better than many people expected. And there could be a new manager bounce for this game for them. So, yeah, it's just situational kind of bet here. That it's just not the best time maybe to be going to Elland Road for Newcastle.
Plenty of good old Saturday 3 o'clocks to get through. We'll start with Villa against Spurs. Mark, we were predicting Spurs, free-flowing, Heung-min Son, plenty of shots on goal last week. We got none of that, but 3 points. Which makes a change.
It does. And this is a big game in the race for Europe. Sixth spot, obviously, will get Europa League. Seventh is going to get Conference League. The big debate sort of on the Tottenham forums and sort of podcasts is, you know, if they're not going to finish sixth, would they rather finish eighth and not be in the Europa Conference League? I don't think you get that with Aston Villa. I think Villa would gladly take Conference League from where they were at the start of the season. Both were given a big sort of boost by Brighton's result, particularly Tottenham. I was looking here at under 2.5 goals. 5 straight wins to 0 for Villa at home. Spurs' change of formation that you sort of hinted at against Crystal Palace certainly limited the chances that they conceded against them. A draw's not a disastrous result, I don't think, for Tottenham in their push for the top six in Europa League, and it's then whether Villa have got the craft to break them down. I like what Villa do on the counter-attack, but in terms of if they actually have to go and open the team up, and Crystal Palace found it difficult to do that to Tottenham, and this change of formation that sees them play with a back four and then it moves to a back five, depending on whether they've got the ball or not, might frustrate Villa.
OK, let's take a look at Chelsea against Forest then, and well done to Frank Lampard, who's picked up his first win in a long time. They beat Bournemouth 3-1. So well done, Frank. Never doubted you. How do you see this one going, Mark?
Yeah, I sort of thought that Chelsea probably would win. We know Forest have got a terrible away record. And we know that Chelsea have been horrible for most of the season. I was just looking at, is it Madueke or Madueke?
He looks sharp.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it. I should know, because he came through at Spurs. But I'm going for him to score the first goal. You're right, he looked sharp against Arsenal when he scored. Also against Bournemouth, he had 3 shots. 2 of them were on target. So I'm assuming that he'll continue to play. Never quite easy to understand sort of what formation or team Chelsea are going to play. But he's definitely somebody that has caught the eye in recent weeks. And one of those that's either he's got something to prove or he just seems to be playing with a bit of heart. And you can't say that about all the Chelsea players at the moment. So, yeah, him to score first.
Palace Bournemouth up next. A quick word on Palace, Mark, because I think looking back at how we were... You know, the words we were using to describe them probably pre-World Cup, we were slightly fearful, weren't they, of their chances. And now they're 12th, they're nowhere near.
They've always been 12th. They've been 12th all
season. One of those teams that are always there. But just quietly gone about business and got a job done.
Yeah, I mean, Roy Hodgson, whether it was him, whether it was the ease of the schedule, because Vieira did have some horrible games that led to his sacking. You know, they did beat Leicester. The Leeds result. They only needed a couple of wins from somewhere, and that they managed to get them at Spurs on Saturday. Competitive, didn't create a huge amount, didn't give up much. I suppose more like a Crystal Palace that you'd come to expect of Hodgson from sort of his previous time there. That being said, I thought that they might have been shorter to win this game. They did fail to put Everton away in a sort of similar type game recently at Selhurst, but Everton absolutely scrapping for their lives. I do just wonder about Bournemouth, whether they're chilling out. Some teams can chill out and they've got that ability to be able to do it.
A lovely place to chill out as well, Bournemouth.
Bournemouth is, yeah.
Maybe not so much Palace,
I was going to say, maybe not so much Selhurst. I'll go for a Crystal Palace win, but not with any huge amount of confidence.
Okay. Manchester United, Wolves up next. I'm still trying to work out how that Benrahma strike crept in. Yeah. I mean, De Gea's got a mistake in him, hasn't he?
He has. Usually with his feet, but this was...
he dived over the ball.
Back pass levels, wasn't it? I mean, he wouldn't have dealt with the back pass well because that would have been with his feet. So maybe it's a confidence thing. Look, Manchester United need to be careful.
Yeah.
They should have enough, and their fixture list is forgiving. But if Liverpool win all three matches...
You wouldn't put it past them.
I know. I expect Liverpool to win all three matches, not giving away any spoilers for the tip against Leicester. But I do think they'll win their remaining three matches. That will put pressure on United. And I think the pressure might be ramped up a touch more. I'm going to go for Wolves or draw. Ooh. Double chance. It's only one win in six now for United. They failed to score in five of those games. Rashford was the difference maker for them, sort of in that, particularly after the World Cup when they went on a very strong run. He was rushed back from a groin injury, and I suppose I'm just wondering if he's fully fit. Mm. Amazing how it's turned, because people were talking about them being in a title race a couple of months ago. Now they're in a race again for the top four that looks absolutely dead. It does make you think, doesn't it? When a team's like coasting a bit, all of a sudden you need to step it up. Are you able to do that? I'm not so sure. And Wolves are just an awkward team. The kind of team, as Aston Villa found out last week, that, you know, they can defend well. They keep a lot of clean sheets. And I don't think I'd be backing United at the prices.
Mm. Southampton against Fulham. Intrigued to know which way you think this is going to go, Mark. I was just going to ask, actually. It feels as if, particularly over the last month in the Premier League, there's been a lot of these games that just get out of control. We've seen a lot of 5-3s and 4-3s. I know it's this time of the season, this kind of thing does happen.
Yeah, it does.
It feels like it's happening more often this season.
Well, I think that most teams now, most modern teams, do just play on the front foot.
Right.
I mean, it is the way that most managers feel like it's the best way to pick up the most amount of points. And so, you know, you are seeing more adventure, I suppose. I mean, one of the few things I got right last week, and I didn't get much right, was that the both teams to score, Forest, Southampton. I'm going to stick with that bet for this one. For Fulham, they don't keep many clean sheets, none in six or away for them. And Southampton, no clean sheet in nine. And we've had a couple of free alls that you're probably alluding to there with Spurs and Arsenal. They had the 4-3 against Forest. So, I mean, they need to win every game. It'd be very difficult to motivate, maybe, because it feels like they know they're relegated. But they are wide open defensively. And it's just whether they've got enough quality in the final third. But they haven't given up, I suppose. So, yeah, that's why I'm going for both teams to score.
OK, on to Sunday's fixtures then. Three left to preview. We'll start with Brentford against West Ham, Mark.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a Brentford win. I just think that West Ham will probably put out a weakened team in between their two Conference League semi-finals. The whole season depends on this now. No surprise to me that those three players that were ill for the Man City game managed to recover from illness to play against Manchester United. And I think that Moyes will take the opportunity to rest players again.
Sunday 4:30, this could be huge. Arsenal-Brighton. Now, Everton-Manchester City is at 2 o'clock. We've spoken about that. There's potential for Manchester City to drop points. Arsenal hosting Brighton. Brighton off the back of a big defeat. Arsenal just put aside Newcastle convincingly. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, I think it'll be a great game. I'm going to go for Arsenal and over 2.5 goals. I mean, in their last six Premier League home games, Arsenal have covered the over 2.5 by themselves.
Wow.
So, yeah, they're scoring a lot of goals. And most teams that play against Arsenal sit back, particularly at the Emirates now, because of how dominant Arsenal are. And Brighton are not going to sit back against them. So I expect that to be completely wide open. It feels like a pivotal weekend, because if someone said to me that Man City are going to drop points and Arsenal are going to win, I wouldn't be massively surprised. And then similarly, if you said to me City are going to win but Arsenal are going to drop points, again, it wouldn't be that much of a surprise. They've both got dangerous matches this weekend. I've gone for both teams to win in different ways, but you know, it wouldn't amaze me if one of them dropped points, let's put it this way. But yeah, this looks like game of the weekend for sure.
An intriguing encounter, that one. Monday Night Football, Leicester against Liverpool. This was one of the games we spoke about earlier, wasn't it, Mark, in terms of Leicester needing something. Unlikely it's going to come in this. I think James Maddison in his press after their last defeat had said that they were up for it enough or something along those lines. And I saw a few Leicester fans going, well, if you're not up for that one, then it's going to be difficult to motivate for the rest of the season. It almost feels like you've got a Leicester squad here who haven't been in this position. And we've even spoken about it with a lack of urgency towards Leicester, because you've just expected them at some point to rip raw, win three games and be fine. That hasn't happened. And now there is a real sense of urgency.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, two of their last three games are against Liverpool and Newcastle. So the urgency should have been in that Everton game. And there was, in fairness, but the Fulham game, shocking. I'm going to go for Liverpool to win and both teams to score. The one that I suppose, if Leicester are looking for something to maybe give them hope, Liverpool's last five wins have all been by one goal. So it doesn't take much for that win to become a draw. But they're just full of attacking intent. They'll be going, they know they're going to need to finish with three wins to have any chance. So they're going to be, you know, on full tilt. Leicester, 20 league games without a clean sheet. Wow. I mean, it's hard to pick up points when you're having to score to get a point and maybe two or more.
And that's probably what they'd hope. Bringing Dean Smith in, you bring a manager like him and you go, hopefully he tightens us up and we've got enough attacking quality to counteract that. But if anything, they've gone the other way.
They have, yeah. And both teams to score has landed in 9 of their last 10 games. So they've got the quality up front. You feel like you're repeating yourself every week, really, with Leicester. But yeah, I mean, it could be one of those, you know, crazy Monday night games that we had last week where...
It's open.
I say last week, it was 2 days ago. Lots happened in that time. But yeah, I think it'll be full of goals and Liverpool to come out on top.
Great stuff. Now, we mentioned at the top of the show and in our previous episodes of Bet's Club that we are now proudly supported by CopyBet. They've been enhancing Mark's treble for the last couple of weeks and will continue to do so. We are recording this a day early, so you may have to wait until Thursday to get the enhanced prices, but we will link it down in the description so you can head over there and maybe set up your account beforehand. So an enhanced treble, three picks. Give us your first.
Notts County to beat Chesterfield in the National League playoff final at Wembley on Saturday. I mean, Notts finished 23 points superior to their local rivals in the regular season. And I expect them to make their sort of quality count at Wembley. I think perhaps even more remarkable than their 107-point tally, which is remarkable enough. Wow. They scored 117 goals and finished with a goal difference of plus 75, which was actually better than eventual champions Wrexham. Both teams qualified for the final in the most dramatic of circumstances. It was a thrilling Sunday. But whenever I've watched Notts County, I've mentioned them a few times on the pod. I'd put them in the top five teams that I enjoy watching most this season. And it's not just that I hope that they do it. I think that they're a good enough bet to do it. Yeah, I do massively enjoy watching
them. Get it done
in
normal time.
I'm going for them to win in 90 minutes. I think if it goes beyond 90 minutes, don't really want to be on a favourite at that point, really.
It'd be a travesty if they weren't to go up with that record. Okay, so we've got the first leg of the treble in. What's the second?
Yeah, just going to go for Arsenal v Brighton over 2.5 goals. Arsenal's last 7 home games have all featured at least four. So you've got that in your favour. The two meetings this season have finished with 10 goals as well. So I'm just playing it pretty safe there, but over 2.5. And it is worth saying, Brighton averaged the most shots and the most shots on target in the Premier League. So De Zerbi certainly plays the entertainer's tag. And then finally, Liverpool to beat Leicester. I mean, Leicester's defence is laughably bad. I mean, conceding 5 at Fulham is just no way to prepare for this visit. And you know, Liverpool, so strong going forward, looks a good matchup against the terrible Leicester defence.
Okay, so we've got Notts County to beat Chesterfield, Arsenal Brighton over 2.5 goals, and Liverpool to beat Leicester. That's the treble brought to you by CopyBet. More information on that in the description below. Now, this would usually be the part where we head over to Dan Charles, but I can't see Dan. Where is he?
I think he's because we're doing it on a Wednesday, he's had Wednesday off. When the rota was done, I don't think we knew that the podcast was going
he's
to be.
He's not on holiday or something, then.
He's not on holiday, but he is a man of...
leisure.
Yeah, he's a man of kind of routine. And so, yeah, it would have blown his mind if we would have rang him up on Wednesday to try and
Well,
speak
I hope
about.
You're prepped with EFL goodness.
Yeah,
then.
I am. There's absolutely no problem there. I've mentioned it at the top of the show. I love EFL playoffs, just my favourite time of the year. I mean, Championship one.
I can't wait for the Championship.
It's interesting. I mean, you've obviously seen all of these teams at hand. So maybe, Jacko, who do you think is the best out of Luton, Middlesbrough, Colts? I'll tell you who I fancy from a betting point of view afterwards. But it'd be interesting just to see who you think out of Luton, Borough, Cov and Sunderland's best.
I think to start with, we have to mention Coventry because they came to Carrow Road really early in the season.
Oh, you said they were rubbish.
They were awful. Yeah. They weren't playing at home. They had no ground. And the turnaround there has been absolutely brilliant. Really, really great going forwards. Luton, I think Luton have been on the radar of people for a little while now, but just so solid defensively. They've got a man in Carlton Morris who just epitomises the way they play and just get the job done. I'd probably say the Real Madrid of the Championship. but out of all of them, you probably say Borough should get it done and have the experience to get it done. You do look at Sunderland and go, dangerous. I think it's really intriguing. The thing I love about the Championship playoffs this season, Mark, is all four sides go about business really differently. And that's what excites me. So out of all four, you'd say Borough. I'd be worried about Luton. I think it would be remarkable if they were to get there. But I just think they know what they're doing at this level.
I mean, from a betting point of view, I'm going to go for Sunderland to win. And now they've got a lot of injury problems defensively at the moment, which isn't ideal. But they snuck in on the final day. They've been on a massively sort of upward trajectory in recent months. A young team that we haven't got any... It's clearly not bottomed out yet and could have more to go for. Diallo from Manchester United obviously cost them a bomb. You've got something like Jack Clarke that's really coming into his own now as well. I mean, and if you look at sort of in recent months, beaten Borough, they've drawn with Luton. They drew against Burnley as well, which is a decent effort. They dominate a lot of games. And they've got Luton. And Luton finished third, and justifiably so. 80 points is great for them. They only scored 57 goals, which is 11 fewer than Sunderland. And they obviously defensively was outstanding. I just wonder if they're going to need a penalty shootout to actually get over the line. That always makes me nervous. I think Middlesbrough will come through against Coventry and would be... I think they are the most likely winners, but I just felt that Sunderland should not be sort of written off and just as a value bet. I like the fact that they're coming into it in really good form and also that they've been in like competition mode for quite a while in terms of... And Luton and Middlesbrough have... And I'm sure the manager's been saying all the right things, but haven't been anything to play for.
So you're a believer of the late arrival.
It's not necessarily of the late arrival. I think it's more just if you've had people say it's about Paris Saint-Germain that they can't switch it on and off in the Champions League. It's like, and I just wonder in the Championship, they've known for a long time that they're not going up, so they've got their minds right. But I just wonder from a kind of, I suppose, just attitude point of view, whether they're there. And from that point of view, I do like the idea of Sunderland knowing that every week has felt like a cup final for them for a while, and they're just in that mode. And I just don't think there's as much between... I don't think there's that much between the four teams
in this.
No, I'd agree. I think there are class differentials maybe in some of the other playoffs that we'll get to. I don't think there's much in this one, which is why I'm going for Sunderland.
Okay, so Sunderland to be playing Premier League football next season. So that's... Are we doing a treble here, are we?
That's going to be the long shot. So the long shot this week is going to be a treble on these three teams.
I like one
of my favourite bets of the year is a playoff treble. Hasn't been successful in the last few years. I did have it up I can't remember the year exactly. I know Southend were the first leg of it. They won a penalty. They scored. Piggott scored in like about the 125th minute, it felt like, to equalise. And then they beat Wickham on penalties to go up.
So our listeners at home can have a guess on what year it was in the brief moment it takes me to Google it. So this was the last time. So Southend beat Wickham.
Yeah.
So one of the legs then would have been Norwich City.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, it would have been. Was that a year? Was it? I can't remember the.
Yeah.
Who did you beat in the final?
Middlesbrough.
I was on the free then.
Okay,
so
okay.
It's been a while.
Good year.
But you know, it pays. The free I'm about to put up pays about 30-1.
Brilliant.
So I mean, you only need to get it up once every 30 years. So I'm in profit.
Borough the first. Who's the second?
It's not Borough. No,
it's not Sunderland.
Sunderland. Sunderland the
not,
first.
And not Southend in there either.
No, unfortunately not. So the second one. A bit safer with this one, but I do think Sheffield Wednesday, deserving favourites. You know, there's been some question marks about their bottle and did they blow it, etc. They finished on 96 points. I mean, that should be enough to get you up. It didn't, and there was that Forest Green game away from home where maybe I was using the B words at that point. But I think you need to take the season as a whole. They got 96 points. That just gets you up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so I'm not, the pressure is on them and that makes me slightly nervous, but I think they've got the nicer of the two semi-finals against Peterborough, albeit a Peterborough team that's snuck in and sort of, you know, caught Derby, you know, late on and definitely play results-wise have been better since Darren Ferguson went back for the 100th time there. But I think you'd still rather play them than Barnsley or Bolton who meet in the other semi-final. I am worried about Barnsley. I watched the game when Barnsley beat Sheffield Wednesday. They probably deserved to win that game. That was at Oakwell, though. And the only reason I've not gone for Barnsley is that I'm not absolutely... I feel more confident in Sheffield Wednesday being able to get past Peterborough than I would Barnsley against Bolton.
Equally, I'd watched an Ipswich side go to Barnsley and at a really important moment and just wipe them aside.
Yeah.
It could quite easily happen.
You don't want to say it, but I just think Ipswich
are
really, really, really good. So,
brilliant.
But you know, the fact that Sheffield Wednesday have almost sort of matched Ipswich's season, and then people saying Ipswich might be the best team to have come up from League One in a long time and, you know, should be challenging next year. I think that tells you how close Sheffield Wednesday are. Bannon's fit and available for these playoffs and, you know, he's the class act in the whole league. So, yeah, I'll go for Sheffield Wednesday.
So we've got Sunderland, Sheffield Wednesday. So I'm assuming in League Two, either Salford or Stockport.
Yep, let's talk about S, baby. Mm. Yeah, we're going for Stockport.
There we go, the three S's.
Yeah, again, another favourite. But if you look at their stats, I mean, they dominated a lot of games this season, been high up on the radar of bookmakers, always going off sort of shorter prices than maybe the league table would suggest that they should be going off. I think if the season had started again, like they'd go up this time. They just had a slow start. I mean, Stockport squeezed in, had some crazy, chaotic last-minute winners here, there and everywhere and were picking up points that, you know, Gary Neville was sort of seen screaming at his TV, but then needed help from elsewhere on the final day because they lost to Gillingham. I know, you know, both well-backed teams in terms of finances, but, you know, I do think that Stockport are the class act in these playoffs. Carlisle v Bradford in terms of the other semi-final, I mean, they both finished on 76 points. And what I would say about a lot of these games, particularly first legs, that's all taking place this weekend, I couldn't put anyone off back in the draw in just all in every game, just almost backing it blind. And sort of Carlisle v Bradford, to me, feels like they might as well just sort of have the penalties now. Because I just see it going the distance. Obviously, if Bradford get there, they'd take, you know, masses to Wembley, and maybe that would sort of change the dynamic slightly of the final. But I'm just looking at it purely in quality terms, and I think that Stockport have got a class edge.
That League Two table, remarkable really, only now sort of looking at it in depth. You had Carlisle 5th, 76, Bradford 6th, 76, Salford 7th, 75, Mansfield 8th, 75. Like,
yeah.
So tight.
Yeah, Mansfield needed one more goal against Colchester. Wow. I mean, I've finally given up on Mansfield. I backed them for a top seven finish. I mean, they've now got done on, by one goal.
They feel like the anti-post Acker ruiner every season.
Yeah, I'm sick of them. Glad they're not in the playoffs because I probably would have gone for them. But no, I think Stockport, like I say, got the class edge. Sheffield Wednesday are the best team in League One need to handle the pressure. Sunderland, I just don't think there's that much between those four Championship teams. I'm a little bit worried about the injuries they've got defensively, but yeah, Tony Mowbray's managed to find a way before, so hopefully he can again.
Absolutely. So Sunderland, Sheffield Wednesday, Stockport, that's your long shot EFL playoff treble. Where would you like to go next?
We go to the player prop shop. Macaulay Langstaff, 42 goals this season for Notts County. Only one in his last five, so a real goal drought, but you know, by his ridiculously high standards. He got three goals against Chesterfield in the regular season. If you watch the way Notts County play, like, so much good football, and then he's the one that sort of feeds off it at the end there. And, you know, I've said I fancy Notts County to win, and therefore, I mean, I think it makes sense to play Langstaff to score first.
Okay. I can only apologise last week for my prop shot, Pookie, anytime.
You said he had eight shots, didn't
you? Eight shots, four on target. No goals, and cried when he went off.
No, so Pookie party.
Absolutely not. We've got the prop shot, we've got the long shot. Let's go to the nap.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Liverpool to beat Leicester, and both teams to score. I mean, Leicester 20 league games without a clean sheet is a joke, really, for a team that, you know, is still competitive in by Premier League standards. So that defence is unlikely to be able to cope with Liverpool's like five or six attacking options. But they've got Vardy, they've got Maddison, they've got Barnes, they've got Tielemans, some fullbacks that like to get forward. You know, Liverpool are definitely not clean sheet machines. So yeah, I can see Liverpool winning really high scoring game, like sort of 3-1 or 4-1, something
okay,
like that.
Good stuff. There we go. What have you got to look forward to for the rest of this week?
I'm still deciding.
It's still only Wednesday.
It is only Wednesday. Yeah, I'm debating whether to go to the National League playoff final.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I know I can watch it on TV, but yeah, I really like watching Notts County.
How far is that from you?
I was at Wembley Arena at the weekend to see Mickey Flanagan. So,
oh yeah, how was that?
Yeah. I mean, if you like Mickey Flanagan, yeah, you'll like his latest act, I suppose. Yeah, it was good.
Okay.
I don't know, hour and a half. Okay. To get to
the train, a few beers.
Well, no, I mean, I'd just go there with my notebook and sort of try and work out how Notts County play football and see if I can post it off to Daniel Levy and see whether he can get Tottenham playing like that.
Very good. There we go. That's another weekend sorted. Bets Club rounded off for another week. Big thanks to CopyBet for supporting us. You can head over to them. Links in the description. Remember, Mark's put up a lot of selections this week. Please don't feel the need to back them all. We'll be back again next Thursday for another episode of Bets Club. Thanks very much for listening. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, sponsored by CopyBet.